You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tuesday morning to you. Mike McNamara in for a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good morning wherever you are. Jacksonville, North Carolina. Weather's supposed to be nice today, so looking forward to that. If you're a University of Alabama fan, it's okay. You can't win it every year. And this is the lesson about sharing. So, you have to share with the other kids. That's right. I know it's hard, but yeah, you can't take the trophy home all the time. Yeah, Clemson put an ass whooping on him. It happens, boys and girls. It happens. Let me tell you what we're going to do today, so you get mentally prepared for it. We're going to, you're going to hear from Josh Goldberg and Mike Musselman, and get their thoughts on what we did yesterday here at Camp Lejeune and with the Marines and Sailors of the 2nd Marine Division. So it was, you'll get to hear what they thought about what we did, and so exciting stuff. And you'll hear my thoughts here in a few minutes. And then you'll hear an interview that I did with my sister. And I play part of it in the program itself. And I play snippets from Elizabeth Smart. You've heard PFC Barnado Simpson, who was at Mili. You've heard, I'm trying to think. And then I play from about, I play the snippets from Ken Rogers, Ross Pape, Jeremiah Workman, and my sister Peggy. Now, all of them are – all of them are partiers, all right? And they talk about what alcohol, and when you combine alcohol with trauma, what it does to your life. And so when you listen to Peggy's interview, and it's hard to listen to, for those of you who don't know my sister's story, if you're listening for the first time, she told her husband she was going to leave, and he shot both their sons, 4 and 6 years old, and killed them. And then after he'd beaten Peggy up, and then he killed himself. And so I wanted Peggy to come on and tell the story. She'd never really talked about it, and I'd asked her a few times. But I insisted last time when we did it, because she'd only coexisted with it. And I knew by sharing her story, she would, Peggy would hear from people whose lives she touched. And she'd never really experienced that. And she would have those Grinch moments when something that she said, something that she talked about, touched somebody else's life and changed their life. And so, so I want you to listen from a little bit different perspective, not the shock of how terrible the story is, but listen to things she says about drinking. The other really cool thing that is interesting to watch as we do this post-traumatic winning here in Jacksonville at Camp Lejeune for the 2nd Marine Division is the reaction that you get to Elizabeth Smart, that video, And I'll play that for you. In fact, I'll play both clips for you here in a few minutes, and so you can hear what they hear. Very cool, very cool. So, but Nick, I thought, you know, I haven't played that interview, I don't know, since we aired it. I don't think I've ever repeated it. So listen to it, but try to adjust your lenses if you've heard it before. And listen to her comments about drinking and her comments about Elizabeth Smart and how something Mike said touched her. So we'll do that today. I'm going to get the show going, and then I'll tell you about what we did yesterday. I'll play those audio clips for you here. And so I'll be here for about 30 minutes, and then you'll hear from Mike and Josh, and then you'll hear Peggy for the rest of the day as we head over to Camp Lejeune to go get it on again. We'll do post-traumatic winning 3 times today. And then in the evening, you know, for the first time, we'll do it for a group of spouses. So really excited about that, to get what their take is on something that their husbands see. So good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Happy Tuesday. Hang in there, Alabama fans. It'll be okay. This is dedicated, I talked about him yesterday, but the Marines of RCT-1 who didn't come back with us from 2010-2011, their lives left a huge imprint on the guys that speak. General Furness was the commanding officer of RCT-1. I worked in current operations. Mike was kind of an independent contractor, doing whatever he wanted. And but that experience, as well as our other combat deployments, left a huge imprint on us as Marines, as leaders, as people. And this grows out of those composite experiences. So this is dedicated to all those Marines that deployed with us, who didn't come home with us. And, you know, you always try to say that you'll be mindful and you won't forget. And so post-traumatic winning is dedicated to them, that we're better knowing that their sacrifice and knowing that we should live the high life and taking concrete steps to do that. So this is dedicated to them.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute.
and we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
That's how post-traumatic winning was named. What do I call this thing? It's not just growth, right? It's giving, taking that growth and giving it back. And then I heard that, and I said, what am I, stupid? It's post-traumatic winning, man. Currently, we'll check the weather in Marineland. Clouds at 41 in Quantico. It's going to be nice on the East Coast. It's going to be supposedly 70 degrees here today. Dark, cloudy, and 53 at Camp Lejeune. Headed for 70 today, and then I think in the low 50s tomorrow. Granbury, Texas, cooled off. It is cloudy and 42 in Granbury. 29 Palms, dark, cloudy, and 41. Camp Pendleton, dark, clear, and 40. Okinawa, Japan, cloudy, 63. A little bit colder in the Pacific, the Western Pacific. In Ramadi, it's sunny and 59. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, and in the city of Marja, in the province of Helmand, in the country of Afghanistan, it is 65 degrees there. Currently, at your home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it's 49 degrees. All right, let me check some news stories real quick, and then I'll play some audio for you, and then you'll hear from Josh and Mike. Top three stories I would tell you. National Security Advisor John Bolton outlines conditions for the U.S. pullout from Syria. Okay, there's a subsequent story to that I'll get to in a second. Flight data recorders likely found from two Marine Corps aircraft that crashed off the coast of Japan. In addition to that, although no official announcement's been made, one would speculate that the bodies of the crew members that were missing are in there. So keep our fingers crossed, and hopefully that announcement comes soon so that those families can bury their loved ones and find a little bit of closure in that. The other story, significant relative to the kind of this global face-off between the United States, Russia, and China, is the U.S. Navy is back in the Black Sea, sending a message to Moscow. So just sailed through the South China Sea, which is China's whole stupid event. Like, we own the ocean. Nobody else can be in it. And you're kind of like Alabama with a college football trophy. Yeah, we get this. And so the United States Navy back in the Black Sea. So three top stories, I would tell you, in Marine World. The other one, top five stories in Early Bird, real quick. The president insists he can use military funds and declare an emergency to build a border wall. So the president will address the nation tonight. Democrats are asking for equal time. Number two, do you feel a draft? Question mark. Israeli pilots land an F-15 after their canopy flies off. Number three, military investigating death of a U.S. contractor. The contractor died in Germany, ex-Green Beret. He was found in his barracks with severe head trauma, supposedly beaten by Marines in Iraq. So stand by for more information on that. And then final is six militants killed in a U.S. airstrike in Somalia. The biggest story of the day, though, and deals with Turkey. Turkish President Recep Erdogan did not meet with U.S. National Security Envoy John Bolton on Tuesday, while telegraphing a widening rift between the NATO allies that leaves the Trump administration's plan to withdraw troops from Syria in limbo. Now, you can see the folly of the president's speech, making probably a serious mistake in American foreign policy, and then sending his advisors out to slow roll it and modify it. In a speech to Parliament, Erdogan said that Bolton had made a, quote, serious mistake in calling for new conditions for the U.S. exit from Syria. Bolton has been seeking assurances that Turkey wouldn't attack Washington's Syrian Kurdish allies after American forces depart. So I would tell you it's a huge story. And again, Turkey, NATO partner, we have a big base there. So we'll see where this takes us. But again, the president trying to walk back a decision that that he made last week. So no, in my opinion, no bueno. All right. I want to play for you a couple of audio cuts that I use, that I would like you to hear, that I use in post-traumatic winning. So I have to plug. No, everything's plugged in. All right. One is a video of Elizabeth Smart, and then there's this audio. Stand by. Don't get impatient. Here's the Elizabeth Smart audio. It's about 4 minutes long.
I want people to walk away with a sense of hope, because at the end of the day, bad things happen and we don't deserve them to happen. But that doesn't mean that our life is over. That doesn't mean that we need to give up or that we can never be happy again. You can go through hell and you can still have a happy ending, and you can reclaim your life. You can decide who you are. I hope that people come out of it feeling like that gives them the courage, the strength to keep on fighting, to keep on going. Life is worth living. That night, as he did every night the last 9 months, Brian David Mitchell raped me. But it was the last time. I feel like I'm confident in who I am, and I'm happy in my life, and I'm where I'm supposed to be, and I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I have a family now, but being involved in child advocacy and seeing change happen and wanting things to change for the better for survivors and victims, and that still is a very big part of my life, because I haven't forgotten what it feels like to be abused, to be hurt, to be taken away from everyone and everything you love. I never want my children to go through that, and I never want anybody else to. And so for those people who do go through that, I want to make sure that I'm doing everything that I can to see that it doesn't happen, to put a stop to it as best I can. Why did I tell you this story? Those posters on the wall, the children like me, the others who have it worse, the ones who don't come home. I wanted to tell you, as someone who has been through hell, that there still is hope. Find a miracle, hold on to it, and keep going. I'm not cracked. I'm not shattered. I am Elizabeth Smart.
That gets played in during the program. And as I said, it's very cool. And the other piece of audio that I play, you'll hear now, and it's about alcohol. So you'll hear this. We'll wrap it up. You'll hear from Josh and Mike, get their thoughts on what we did yesterday, and I will see you tomorrow. So stand by. Alcohol and trauma.
And so talk to me about alcohol and drugs and living with post-traumatic stress.
They're your worst enemy. And I like to party. I grew up, I was graduated from high school in 1974. I lived through the disco era in the 80s and all that. But what it does, drugs and alcohol, is they make you, they make your mind weak. And they make you vulnerable. They make you lose your reasoning. And they'll destroy you. You want someone to let the monkeys out of the cage, get a, you know, go ahead and drink a half a bottle of tequila and start thinking about your problems. The monkeys will destroy you. And we know, we lost a sister to alcoholism. And she never had any traumas or major events like that in her life, but it's a disease. And it doesn't help anything. Anything. It might make you feel better for 5 or 10 minutes. But it's your worst nightmare.
So drinking was part of the way you coped or, and became part of the way you live. How did you, was that part of just the realization that something's got to change and acceptance of what happened and dialed back to drinking? Did that all happen simultaneously?
Yeah, that all happened. It all happened kind of at the same time.
Go ahead.
It was all part of the...
This is Jeremiah Workman, for those of you who don't know. Recipient of the Navy Cross for actions in Fallujah, talking about alcohol.
Looking in the mirror and saying, holy shit, I am destroying myself, but not just me. My family is suffering. And I think for a lot of people, a lot of Marines and soldiers that I know that that I talk with, it's not until they realize that their family is suffering and most likely on the verge of leaving you,
right,
that they're willing to make a change.
Do you feel like you have a better handle on your PTSD since you've begun to, since you've gotten sober?
Oh, absolutely. I did. It was the beginning and it's the only thing.
This is Ross Pape. Got out as a sergeant from the Army, friend of mine from North Dakota, Minnesota, two combat tours in Iraq, and then his brothers both were Marines, both killed in training accidents. Doesn't have any more siblings other than his two brothers. So not only does he deal with, you know, Iraq, he deals with the death of his two brothers.
Thing that's helped. It's literally the only thing that really made a difference for me. You know, I was on medications, anxiety, depression, blah, 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 blah. You know, doing this, doing that. But yet, quitting drinking was the only thing that really helped. And after I quit drinking, all the other things that the doctors were telling me all this time started to fall in place and started to freaking work. Which, as you know, I'm stubborn. It's like, they don't know what they're talking about, whatever, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, when you're not lying to the doctor about how much you drink in a day or a week, and you could tell them that, yeah, I used to drink 3-4 cases of beer a week. You know, I mean, no big deal. Now I don't drink anything. And now you start actually listening, and you start doing the things they tell you to do. And you actually want to try and, you want to try and make your life better. It's amazing. But yeah, for me, quitting drinking was by far number one, the biggest step to handling my PTSD.
You get to a, if you do it long enough, you get to a.
This is Ken Rogers, right? Caisson veteran. He and Betty produced Bravo, Common Men, Uncommon Valor, about his company at Caisson.
Where you was you at it, you accurately describe what you do. You destroy your life. You destroy the lives of the people who love you. You destroy your friendships because people just get tired of putting up with you. I mean, you know, you're an asshole. When you drink and have PTSD, you're an asshole. I was just an ass. I was sarcastic, cynical, pissed people off, hurt their feelings, and didn't care. It was like, and until I, you know, I got married a second time, I was still drinking heavily, and but I married a woman who understood that I needed to be able to articulate what had happened to me in Vietnam, and she listened, and I came to the conclusion that she wasn't going to stick around very long if I didn't get my shit together.
So what makes you stop drinking, ultimately?
Well, you know, I just figured out that I was either going up or down, and it was my choice, and I better do it now because I was about past the point of no return. Because I was like drinking a case of beer a day and then maybe a bottle of wine or half a fifth of whiskey or, you know, I mean, I was consuming large amounts of alcohol, so.
That's pretty powerful stuff. The archives of All Marine Radio are incredible. Honestly, they're absolutely positively incredible, the stuff that's in there. And then when you can edit it down and you can link it together, it's pretty amazing. All right, that'll do it. Mike and Josh will join me next. Have a great day. We'll be back for an hour and a half live tomorrow. And as we go through the week here at Camp Lejeune with the 2nd Marine Division. So have a great day. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.